This is the Cross Campus Ministry Podcast, where you can break the chains, stop the roller coaster lifestyle, live free in Christ, starting now.
Hello, this is Mike Johnson from CrossCampusMinistry.com. What I have for you today, I was recently interviewed on Inspiration Station, LAWS, which is stands for something. Sorry about that, guys. But I was interviewed on this show to talk about campus, the Cross Campus Ministry podcast, and the things that we're doing. And I wanted to make sure that I shared it with you. The show actually was about an hour long, and I believe my interview was over 30 minutes long. So what I did was I cut the interview, and I'm going to just give you the part where I was interviewed so you don't have to listen to the whole show if you don't want to. But what I'm going to do, the individuals that interviewed me, I thank God for them for giving me the chance to talk about the podcast. So I'm going to leave a link to their website on the show notes here. So make sure you go and check that out, Inspiration Station, LAWS. Make sure you check that out. The link is going to be there on the show notes. So here is the audio recording where I was interviewed. Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm it's such a great opportunity. Thank you guys for having me on here.
I'm so glad that Marla told me. Marla is in Dayton, Ohio, as you probably heard, but she told me that she couldn't get to her email, so she gave me the password and everything to check her email just in case you emailed in. So that's why we're late getting back with you, but I'm so glad you called in to the show. We were really looking forward to having you. So.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I did email her earlier, but I just figured if she didn't get back with me, I'd just be ready to call on in. So I just thank God for that.
Yeah. Well, I do apologize, and I thank you for continuing on calling in, as you did.
Yeah, because so many if they don't hear from us, they won't call in, and then we end up having a no call, no show, and we don't like no calls, no shows, do we, Maya?
Not at all. That just leaves a bad taste in our mouths.
Right, because that means we're on the air just talking to each other, and we can do that over the phone.
Right.
So, Deacon Johnson, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, sure. Well, like you said, my name is Mike Johnson. I don't get called Deacon too often, unless I'm at the church. But we have, what we do is we have a campus ministry that we do. And you mentioned the Cross Campus Ministry podcast, the show. And what that is we run that podcast through a website called crosscampusministry.com. And every week we put up a show. We've actually been blessed. We interact with students from everywhere in the country. And around the world, we've had students contact us from Kenya and so on and so forth.
Wow.
Students in Vanderbilt. We have a local Bible study here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And, it's just been a blessing to be able to minister to that group of people because, as we all know, it's really a strained group of people when you talk about the faith in Christianity. I believe last time I checked, 80% of students that are Christian are non-Christian after 4 years by the time they graduate. So that's what we try to do. It's what I try to put most of my energy in is through the crosscampusministry.com and the podcast to try to reach out to that area.
Now, is it okay if we call you Mike or...
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Well, you can call me Deacon Mike if you'd like. Most people just call me Mike.
Okay. Well, Deacon Mike, tell us, why do you suppose that is? Why do you think that when go to college that their Christianity kind of takes off?
Well, that's a good question. There's so many misconceptions there when you think about that question. you know, most people, if they were to answer that question just offhand, just maybe not knowing or not being on campus or not being involved in that ministry, the major consensus is that students are waiting to get away from their parents. They're waiting to get away from church so that they can rebel and go buck wild. And, you know, that's not what I've seen as from the majority of Christian students. Sure, you have a percentage of them that are going to do that, and they've been waiting to do that for years. But what I've seen when it comes to most Christian students on campus is not that. It's not just an open rebellion. Most students, when they go, it's you're going to a campus where you don't have any Christian friends. And I always say the major problem is what a lot of students do. They pour themselves so heavily into their studies and in their professional goals. And Wednesday nights when they would normally have been at Bible study, now they're in study groups. And Sundays when they normally would have been at church, now they're, you know, doing this and that. And their days start to get filled with so many things that God kind of starts getting pushed back. And you can only do that for a certain amount of time before you're going to wake up one day and realize that you're further away from God than you ever would have imagined.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that is. That is. That's absolutely true. I mean, you don't have to go to college to realize that unless you start involving yourself with the church activity, then you're going to go downhill pretty quickly.
Right, right. And, you know, and sometimes, now I never place the blame on anybody. You know, I don't want to be throwing stones here because I'm not perfect either. But, you know, sometimes we as parents, now I have two young kids. My kids are only three, one's three and one's one. But sometimes we as parents, when we send our kids to college, we kind of put a lot of the weight on, you know, you're going to school to get an education, and this is what you're there for, and you know, you better bring home a certain amount of grades and this and that. And sometimes we seldom mention the other thing, you know. I think we can do better sometimes as Christian parents to communicate to our children, go to school, do your best, get good grades, graduate summa cum laude and all that stuff that I don't understand. You know, I push them to do that, but also remind them every day, son, daughter, you know, while you're pushing to do this, while you're doing this, make sure there's a portion of your day, every day, that you're praying, that you're reading, and that you're seeking out other Christians to strengthen you. You know, because children have a natural affinity to please us as parents anyway. So whatever we are going to put the most weight on to them is what they're going to try to achieve. And if we never mention a lot of the spiritual things, they'll forget about it. And we'll end up in that situation where I mentioned earlier, 4 years later, they're 4.0 students, they have a good job, but everything else has faded away, and we're all left wondering what happened there.
Wow.
And, you know, it is sobering. You know, that's what we do. And, you know, we say essentially, I believe I was emailing Marla back and forth a couple weeks ago when we were getting
ready.
We're putting together a video series that we're going to hope to push out to college students and to fathers and mothers. What it's going to be, it's going to be a curriculum based on the five critical things that students should do and need to do to keep their faith. And those five things are, of course, to all of us, they seem obvious. Prayer is the number one thing. The number two would be having a daily Bible reading. Number three, you have to have Christian friends. And, of course, number four, finding a local church. And it's something funny I always say about that. I always say, find a church, don't search for a church, because the great church search has deceived many students. You know, they're in their fourth or fifth year of college, they're still searching. Well, we don't need to search, we need to be in one within a couple weeks. And, of course, the last one would be, while you're on campus, to evangelize. Because commitment always flourishes with public accountability. If you're out there and you're on the campus and nobody knows you're a Christian, nobody knows, you know, what you believe in and what you stand up for, you're going to be ever so more tempted to get involved in different things. But if you put it out there on, you know, like on a billboard, hey, I'm, you know, this is what I stand for, this is who I am, now you're publicly accountable to keep yourself pure, and that helps. So we're going to be hoping to release that. It was supposed to be at the end of the month, but I've been fighting this procrastination thing, so we have to push it back by the end of April. So if you go on the site, on crosscampusministry.com, hopefully you guys will see that there pretty soon. So pray for me on that, finishing that up.
Right. Now tell me, Deacon Mike, do you find more of the students, I guess, covering up their Christianity, you know, because of peer pressure or whatever?
You know, that's a good question. And like we said, it ranges from student to student. But I do see that often. And oftentimes when it's that, there's so many other things that pop. You have, can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Oftentimes, you know, students will go to college campus and they'll get involved in the culture of the college. What I mean by that is you can't be a Christian and still be down with everybody else. You know, I often say that when people are in the world, they want to be different. But then when they get saved and they become Christian, they want to fit in. You know, they lose that desire to be different. And you cannot be standing up as a believer and listening to 50 Cent and Beyonce and
Absolutely.
Katy Perry and all
that.
Right. You cannot do that. And so oftentimes, like to get to the question that you asked, there are students that don't want to cover up their Christianity. But what happens is they start listening to this music and start imitating the culture. And now it's almost like, well, I don't have much of a choice. Because they can't be one or be the other, so they end up hovering in this limbo. And, of course, you know what's going to happen there.
Right.
Going to start getting dragged down. So, and I've seen that happen to the best of Christians. Like, this is something that doesn't even exist. But, you know, just to make a point, I've seen it happen to the best. And I've seen it happen to some that aren't as committed. There has to be a complete separation, and it has to be done from day one, from the day that you enter the campus. A standard has to be set for yourself. I'm not going to be listening to the same music that others are going to be listening to. I'm not going to be as concerned about the style that everyone's there. And, you know, it's an old saying, and it's true. Like I mentioned earlier, you are there to get an education. You're there to get an education so that you can move into an industry and affect that industry for Christ. Popularity has nothing to do with that, any of that plan. So when you go on a college campus and you strive to be popular and you strive to be cool and do everything at the same time, you're going to hit a crossroad. You're either going to decide to fit in or you're going to decide to stand up for Christ. And usually when they try to imitate the culture, they end up deciding to fit in, sadly.
Yeah.
I hope that answers your question there. Feel free to cut me off anytime.
Those are very, very interesting points, the five points that you were making that are so very important, especially the one that you said you have to find Christian friends.
Yes, sir.
You got to surround yourself with a certain level of strength because they're not doing that. If you just make yourself vulnerable, that much easier to listen to what they're going to listen to and hang out where they're going to hang out at. So that should be a priority, is to find the right type of supporting cast from the jump.
Right, definitely. See, because you can't grow by measuring yourself by yourself. I remember I was in the military for 6 years. I was in the United States Air Force. And I would deploy. And I remember specific deployments. One time we went to Qatar, which was in Kuwait. And there were no Christians out there. There were, of course, there had to be some somewhere, but, you know, we're on a base. There's not many people there. I was the only one.
Wow.
I remember not being around Christians when I finally, 2 or 3 months later, ran into other Christians, I noticed there was a decline in me spiritually.
Yeah.
And I think about David, King David. You guys remember when he sinned with Bathsheba?
Mm-hmm.
David found himself in a web of lies, in a web of deceit. It started out with lust, and then it ended up being adultery, and then it ended up being murder, and it got worse and worse. And the situation was only resolved when somebody, and it ended up being the prophet Nathan, when somebody mm-hmm. from the outside came in, because David mm-hmm. couldn't see his own sin.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Nathan told him the parable, he said, David, what would you do if a man, the only thing he had was one little sheep,
mm-hmm.
and another man comes and has everything and takes that one little sheep from him? What would you do to that man, David? And David said, I think that man should be killed. So David
right.
didn't even see what he was doing.
Right.
Nathan, it took for another person to point it out and say, David, you're that man. That's
mm-hmm.
what we need in our life. Nobody, it's a fact of human experience that the more experience that we have with sin, our own sin, the less we can see it, right? So
right.
if you don't have that Nathan in your life to say, hey, look, man, you're hanging out with the wrong girl. You're hanging out with the wrong guy. You're going to the wrong places. You'll continue to go because we all need a Nathan and we all need a Gad. It's as true
yeah.
as it was in the Old Testament, and it's just as true today on whatever campus that you're on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And even further than that, you know, we have a 13-year-old daughter, so, and we have boys that are in elementary, and we think it's just as important for them to surround themselves with Christian friends.
Right.
Because they'll get caught up in doing things that, you know, they shouldn't be doing when they're
right.
hanging out.
Right, right. Everybody needs their proteges, the people that they are, that are looking to them, and everyone needs peers that are on their same
mm-hmm.
level, and everyone needs their patriarchs or their matriarchs. So you can't have one without having the other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, mom can tell you not to do something all day long, but as long as they have friends that are telling them to do it, it's going to outweigh that thing. You're
mm-hmm.
going to have an imbalance there. It always.
Mm-hmm.
It never fails.
Yeah.
Right.
I can relate to you. I was also in the military for 7 years, and I went TDY out to Vegas, and you know, was searching for another Christian, and I found one. But where the story differs a little bit is, you know, I was relieved to find another Christian person to hang out with, especially in a place like Vegas.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But,
yeah.
But that friend ended up sort of letting me down, you know, because they were all getting together and going out clubbing one night, and the devil almost had me, you know, because I was looking up to this guy. He was a minister at the time, and I think I was a deacon at the time. And I'm like, well, hey, if this minister's going out and just having a little good time, then maybe it's okay. But I went back to Rome, and the Lord said, not so. So I ended up staying in that night. So, you know, we are stressing the point of having companions, but we still have to seek the Lord first and foremost.
Right, and that is such a good point. You know, when I talk about Christian friends, we often refer to that as the inner circle, your inner circle of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot talk about the inner circle without talking about Jesus being one of those members of your inner circle.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why when we talk about the five critical things that students need on campus, the first one is prayer.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, God or Satan, he doesn't have to cause somebody to deceive you. People will do that on their own nature, their own information. You know, so we surround ourselves with those. But the number one fact that's going to keep us in check is that prayer life. Because
mm-hmm.
as we're looking to others to be our friends, to keep us accountable, we have to remember we're part of that group too. We're not just reaping the benefits of they're helping
yeah.
me, but we also have to be in a position to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that we're going to be in that position to help them is to be prayerful. And, you know, I've been on the prayer. If you go to our website, you'll see we've been doing so many podcasts on prayer because it is so crucial, you know. And we put out a thing called, actually, in the book that I'm writing that I mean, hopefully will be getting published soon, we put out this thing called practical prayer tips, you know. And you, there's so many things to prayer. Prayer is one of those things, and I don't know where each one of you individually live, but I'm down here in the Bible Belt, which causes problems ministering to certain students. Because when you mention things like prayer, as you did, sir, it's almost like, well, I know about that. That's easy. That's simple.
Right, well, right.
Sometimes we have to look beyond what we think we know.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Well, I pray, and I do this and that. But do we handle prayer the way it's supposed to be handled? Prayer is an intimate conversation with our Heavenly Father. It's not just something that we do because tragedy strikes. You know, we've all seen it, September 11th. Tragedy has a way of bringing us to our knees, you know, and we don't. When I was a child, I was brought up to say the Lord's Prayer every night before I go to bed. Mm-hmm. And that was my regimen. And nobody could tell me that I didn't pray. But when it came time to receive strength, I was missing something, you know. Mm-hmm. And my pastor, he always says that prayer is not informing God, but it's inviting God in. You know, so when we're doing our certain prayers, our corporate prayers, praying with our Christian friends, we have to make sure that we're using prayer, whether we're in our private closet or wherever we are, in the car, in the wherever, that we're taking a time to say, Lord, I'm on this campus, or I'm overseas, or I'm in Vegas, and I need strength, and I need to hear from you. Will you give me strength? All these things are the things that every student, I believe, should seek to understand instead of just taking generic words like, well, you need to pray, you need to read, you need to have Christian friends, and just taking those things saying, well, I know that. You know, taking it further and say, do I really know that? Do I really do that? And do I do it the way that it's supposed to be done?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow, you are dropping a lot of knowledge.
Well, thank you, thank you. I just say all the glory to God. It's definitely not anything from me. So, but
now, where are you at?
I'm sorry?
Where in the Bible Belt are you at?
I'm actually in North Carolina now, which I don't know if it's technically the Bible Belt, but down here in the South, you know, it can get pretty heavy. We minister to people on different campuses. And you can, we can really tell the strongholds. You know, every region, you know, has different strongholds.
Right.
And I mean, it's just so amazing to me that the campuses here in this area, in this region in the South, their major stronghold is the fact that they grew up in church. That is the hardest thing for us to minister to someone who grew up in church.
Really?
Because they've heard it. They know it. You know? I mean, you would think in California, I'm from California. California, sadly to say, I really don't want to offend anybody, but at times and in places, it can be more secular than it is spiritual, you know?
Right.
And, it's easier to minister to those. Because when you mention certain things like, hey, man, you know, did you read your Bible today? That's fresh. It's exciting. It means something to them. If you tell someone, you know, out here, hey, man, have you ever read the story about David? Oh, that's old news. I've been knew that. I knew all that. So you know, it's one of the things that that we all can pray for.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
All right.
So Deacon now, Mike, how long have you been going around doing the campus ministry?
We started the campus ministry back in, I believe it was 2001. It's actually about when I got saved. I believe I got saved in 1999. And the way it started, our church actually was invited on to do a couple Bible studies on the local campus up the road from our ministry here. We started doing that. We did that. We're still doing that. I believe it's been about 9 or 10 years now. But the website and the podcast, we've only been doing for about a year. And it kind of started with, we started recording the Bible studies and putting them online for the students who weren't able to make that particular Bible study, you know.
Okay.
We started noticing students from everywhere would contact us and say, you know, wow, I just needed that. I needed that, which let us know, hey, there's a void here. So that's when we kind of started putting more things out, and we started doing the podcast. And now, I mean, it's such a blessing. The other day I had a student, and, you know, we're confidential. We try to be private, so I won't tell anyone's business. But we have students contact us saying, I'm so stressed with my studies. I think I'm going to start cutting myself, you know, and all these kinds of things. So it's such a blessing to be able to use the Internet, you know, years ago when they didn't have the Internet. Now we just have an opportunity just to get on the phone and reach anybody anywhere. So I guess that was a long way of saying we've been doing the Bible study for about 10 years now. So forgive me for my long-windedness sometimes.
Oh, no, that's okay. You're fine.
Yeah.
Now, did you find, going around doing this, that there was a void of Christian fellowship groups and Bible studies that was taking place on campus before you all came?
On campuses? Yes and no. Yes and no.
Okay.
And, hey, I mean, we're out there now, so I guess I might as well say it. It's too late now. The reason why I say that is almost every campus has a myth, almost.
Okay.
But it's almost like the chaplain service at the hospital type thing. Nobody's doing anything, you know? I've gone on campuses and I've been so excited because, you know, we want to start something here or contact this person there. And you find the local campus chaplain and it's almost like, what do you want to do something here for? You know, and nothing is because it's a job. It's not a ministry. You know, and so oftentimes when we run into campuses, and some do have great things, don't get me wrong, but oftentimes when we run into campuses that do have something in place, nothing's being done, no Bible study. It's almost like a figurehead, you know, which is what we're trying to change now. We're going up on March 27th to Campus Harvest, which is a network of churches that are trying to get something strong established on every campus. I believe they're trying to do in the United States. So they have 5 chapters here now in North Carolina, and we're going to be uniting with them most likely to set up something here on Fayetteville State University. But, you know, sadly, because of what I mentioned at the beginning of the show, no, there are not a lot of things set in place on campuses for the simple reason that people feel that the college students are just going to do what they're going to do because they're just rebellious. They just they finally got out of their mom and dad's house, and they just want to do what they do, so why waste your time type of thing. What's that?
So it's almost like they expect them to go run wild, huh?
Exactly, and that's what I have so many people tell me. So many people tell me that, hey, you know, you're spinning your wheels because they're going to rebel anyway. Well, you know what? There are those on the campus that are like that. But let me give you an example. We held a Bible study one night. It was a Wednesday night. This was years ago. And a guy came to the campus, and he had his corn rolls, you know, and he was, you know, doing his thing that was back with the Thug Life thing, you know.
Okay.
He came to the campus, and you know, I didn't even notice, but he was very intently listening to the words that we had to say. So after Bible study, my brother, who also leads the Bible study, went and talked to him. Well, the guy ended up getting saved that night. I still saved today. This had to be 5 or 6 years ago. And this was the story that he gave. And this story forever changed me. This young man was a Holy Ghost filled. I believe he was a minister before he went to college, landed on college as a freshman, totally set to change the campus, started double majoring, double majored and had a minor. I believe with double majoring had a 3.8, 3.9 at the time. Started pouring himself into his studies, like just like I mentioned earlier, and slowly, you know, where he used to call his pastor every now and then, where he really didn't have time for that anymore, you know. Wednesday nights, driving to the church, where you could forget that, you know, because he had so much homework. In his junior year, he was so completely outside of God's will. And here was the problem. he was so far out of God's will, he didn't know how to get back.
Yeah.
So he just started living the life.
Wow.
And that's the kind of individual that people look at and they say, well, look at him. He's openly rebelling. Well, yeah, he is now. But if we go to the root of it and really go and talk to the guy, we might realize that all he needed was somebody to show him, hey, man, no, you can get back. It may not be easy, but you can.
Mm-hmm.
This individual now is still in the church. This was years ago. Has a beautiful wife, married, a beautiful child, and is an active member and participant in our ministry.
Yeah.
That's why we do it. There's always going to be a percentage that are going to be crazy and do whatever they want, but it's the hurting ones that we're after.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You guys are really making a difference in people's lives.
Absolutely.
Well, we hope and pray that it'll continue to grow, which is why we're going to push to make this video series. The only thing, and if you don't mind, the host of this show, we're not supported by any, major financial institution. Everything that we do comes out of our pocket. Matter of fact, we were invited by one of the local colleges to meet the freshmen this past semester. There was about 500 new freshmen and their mothers and parents. If you go on our website, you can see pictures. We were invited to come on and give them materials and hand them things, basically before the local club do. And we were able to print up a couple hundred CDs with audio recorded, five ways to keep yourself pure on campus. We don't really have enough resources. We didn't have enough to print as many up as we needed. So what we did, and it's purely out of the kindness of anyone's heart, on our website we have a donation button. Any donation, whether it's $1, $5, it doesn't matter. Any donation will help print a couple CDs, pay for production costs for the podcast, anything like that. So anyone, feel free to make a donation. It won't be lost. You will not lose it.
Absolutely. And again, that website is www.crosscampusministry.com.
Right.
And ladies and gentlemen, need you to push the donate button and start donating the funds necessary for this ministry to continue on. We don't want them to lack in any area, including finances. So we will be grateful if you would give whatever the Lord lays on your heart to give us help to help this ministry.
Right. And definitely pray for us. If you have a prayer journal, add us to it. We will not mind that at all.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Deacon Mike. We really appreciate it. Do you have any closing remarks that you would like to leave us with?
I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak to you all and to all those that listen to you. I do not take it lightly that you allowed me to do this. So thank you all, and God bless.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that. So that was our episode for today, or for this week. You know, we have a lot of things coming up. If you haven't subscribed yet, make sure you subscribe. Go to crosscampusministry.com. There's a subscription form there. There's a free giveaway for those who haven't subscribed yet. And please feel free to donate if anything this ministry has touched you. Donations go to us purchasing equipment to make this show more available to more and more students. It's been spreading further and further. Every time I put out an episode, the podcast spreads further and further. I'm so blessed. I got an email recently from a listener who's listening in North India. I don't know how that works. That's the beauty of the internet. But it's been spreading. People have been getting blessed. And it's all because of those of you that have been praying, first of all. It's been for all of your prayers. And also to those of you that donated, I really thank God. So feel free to donate as well. So we thank you. for listening in today. God bless you.